Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Sunday, May 17th, 2015. This is episode 1188. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/Tech Guy. ZipRecruiter.com/Tech Guy. Well, hey, how are you today? It's time for the Tech Guy, yes! The show where you get a geek and you can pick his brain, ask questions, and talk about tech, computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartwatches, smartphones, all that jazz. Now, my phone number here is 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. But if you're outside U.S. or Canada, you can still call, use Skype out. That won't cost you anything because it's a toll-free number. Plus one for the U.S., 888-827-5536. The website, we do have a website. It's free. It's open to all. No sign up. Don't want your email. Keep your email. TechGuyLabs.com. So this was the week that AOL got bought by... No, wait a minute. AOL bought... Wait a minute. Who bought... Verizon bought AOL. It's hard to tell because they feel like equals, don't they? They feel like, you know, that's... But it's not a merger. It's Verizon spending the cold, hard cash, billions of dollars to buy America Online. I won't say the joke. The, you know. So, 4.4 billion sounds like a lot of money. Not a lot of money. I think it's, you know, it's not quite a fire sale. AOL has some content properties, like the Huffington Post, Engadget, which is a very good gadget blog, TechCrunch, which is a blog about startups. None of which Verizon wants. You don't believe, you know, Verizon, you know, everybody's saying, oh, Tim Armstrong, the CEO of AOL, says, oh, yeah, they want us. They really want us. Yeah, I've been through this a few times. They don't want you. They want it's pretty obvious what Verizon wants is the mobile ad platform that AOL does. Because really, nowadays, that's the key. Everybody wants the ability to show you, ads on your smartphone. Why? Because you are not using your desktop computer as much as you ought to. Almost more than half now of all internet surfing is done on a smartphone, a mobile device. And the rest is done on a tablet. I don't know. It's not very much is done on the desktop anymore or the laptop. So the key is getting ads to you because those ads on Facebook that you see on the desktop, if they can't show them to you and get you to click on them, that's the key on your mobile. This is a problem. Facebook's actually shown they can do it. Others have not. Google's been struggling a little bit. Google says now they're going to put on mobile ads a buy button. So, you know, again, this is all about, well, God, people aren't using the internet the same way they used to, and they're really, ads don't seem to work on a smartphone. It's so small. You know, you hate that when there's a banner ad on your application. That's terrible. Don't like that. And that's mostly what it is. I don't know about you, but the browser is not the main thing you do on your smart device. You run apps. Those apps may access the internet, absolutely. But how do you put an ad in there? Well, Google says, what we're going to do is we're going to put these very clever ads that because we know where you are because it's your phone. And we know what you like because you use Google for searches. So we're going to show stuff and have a buy button. Now, don't worry. You're not buying it from us. The buy button will go back to whoever's selling it. But, of course, we'll take a little of that. Thank you on the way. So Verizon, same thing. How do we? Now, you'd think Verizon's business. See, this is what's confusing. as far as I used to think anyway, Verizon's business was selling you a phone and then charging you through the nose to use it, like $100 every month. Seems like a good business. I pay to Verizon for my my iPhone maybe, I don't know, $1,000 a year? More. You know, if you include the cost of the phone in there. So that's good if you have, you know, 20 million, 30 million customers paying you $1,000 a year. That's good. That's some money. Seems like that's a good business. Apparently not good enough. See, I think Verizon's worried, as AT&T, by the way, said, we're going to merge with or we're going to buy DirecTV. Same thing. I think these companies are looking at the writing on the wall, and this is hard. This is very hard. Companies have, this has happened. This has happened since Moses sold carved tablets out of the back of the temple or whatever it was. This has been going on for, I obviously got my Bible history a little confused there. I apologize. People get into business and then times change. The money lenders, you guys got to leave. You can't, no. And business changes. And you try to plan for that. But it's not easy, and it's changing so fast now in the age of the internet and digital technology, the stuff we talk about on this show, that's hard to... Even Google, which is only, 12 years old, is going, what are we going to do next? They make their money on search ads on the desktop. What are we going to do next? That's dying. The cost, the amount of money they make per ad has dropped precipitously. They're still making money, billions. But they see the writing on the wall. Same thing Verizon, same thing AT&T. Google now says, well, we're going to try. They've started a new thing called Project Fi, F-I, that is their Google phone service. Comcast, I don't know. Are you an Xfinity customer? Use Comcast cable? Notice how they changed the name from Comcast to Xfinity. Comcast, I guess, kind of tainted. I don't know. So, I'm not using Comcast. I'm using Xfinity. Xfinity. So Xfinity, when you get an Xfinity wireless router, does an interesting thing. Unless you tell them not to, and nobody does because they don't know it's doing this, it puts a Wi-Fi access spot in your neighborhood that other Comcast customers can use. And in many neighborhoods, here in our small town in San Francisco, you wander around, you're on Wi-Fi all the time because if you have a smartphone and you log into one of them, you've logged into all of them. And why do you think Comcast is doing that? Well, they'd love to do Wi-Fi phone service. But they got to get Wi-Fi everywhere, right? It's not so you could surf the net. It's for phone service. So Verizon and AT&T are going, both of them are internet service providers. Maybe they're a little concerned, too, about the new net neutrality rules. You got to plan for the future. You look at a company like, use Kodak as an example. Kodak, the name in photography, right? Did you have an Instamatic? Sure you did. I did. Everybody did. Did you bring your film, whether it was in a little roll or maybe you got those cartridges, you'd bring it in, Kodak processing, Kodak paper. That was a good business. Kodak did great. And Kodak was smart. These guys were smart. They saw the internet. They saw computers. They saw technology. They got into digital photography. They started making digital cameras. They bought Ophoto, which was a digital photo album and sharing and printing site. They did everything right. And it wasn't enough because the profits in digital weren't the same. They had designed a business around prints and developing, and it just wasn't the same. Couldn't make the profits. So that's it for that. Bye-bye, Kodak. See ya. Think of some other name. Polaroid. IBM. IBM's still around, but they ain't the powerhouse they used to. But in the 60s, IBM was computing. Computing equals IBM. Not anymore. So it's always difficult. You see Microsoft doing it. You see Google doing it. They're trying to find... Even Apple is trying to find new businesses. Google's trying to do a self-driving vehicles. That's another... Google has businesses. They're trying all sorts of stuff. They know. They're very smart, right? And they have more PhDs at Google than they do at Stanford. They're very smart. So they're trying to find the next big thing, self-driving cars. In fact, this summer, if you're in the Mountain View area where Google is, you might see these little toy cars. They look like the little Tonka cars you give kids. You know, they pedal with their feet. They're kind of round. They look exactly like that, except they're a little bigger. These self-driving cars, Google wants to get them everywhere. They don't have a steering wheel, brake, or accelerator. You just get in this capsule, and it goes where you want. We're not ready for that. So they're moving you know, step by step. First step is these little cars will be going around Mountain View, California, no more than 25 miles an hour, and they will have a human inside with a detachable steering wheel. What if it has a little plastic horn? They go, ha, ha. A detachable steering wheel at brake and accelerator, just in case. It's to make you feel better. Interesting world. Let's talk about it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Riding in cars. Riding in cars. Do-do-do-do. Bye-da-bo-bum. We're all in cars with no steering wheel. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. No brake either. You know what? Google found out it was a bad idea to have steering wheels, brakes, and accelerators because it gave humans false confidence. The humans are so bad at driving. We think we're good. That's part of the problem. Somebody in the chat room said, well, what about how's a self-driving car going to do with black ice or 8 inches of snow? Better than you. Pretty much guarantee it. But we think, oh, no, no, only I know how to steer through black ice. Oh, no, my friend. Oh, no, I know how to do it. We're living in interesting times, and that's what I like. There have been accidents in these self-driving vehicles. Google said, yes, in September, there have been 4 accidents in every case, 2 of them with a car driving, 2 of them with a human driver in command. In every case, it was slow speed. They were under 10 miles an hour because they were rear-ended by a nitwit behind them who was looking at his cell phone. Or maybe Googling, what is that car in front of me? The problem with self-driving cars, it only makes sense if every other car is self-driving. If you've got humans on the road, you're going to have a problem. They need to all be. I don't know. I think we're going to see it soon. I think we're going to see it sooner than we think. I feel bad. I am Garfy has an Apple Watch. We're starting to hear this because Apple Watches are in such short supply. If you break yours, you have to wait like everybody else to get your replacement. I am Garfy took a shower, apparently, with his Apple Watch. It's supposed to be okay, but his Taptic engine. Oh, the vibrating thing? Yeah, the vibrating thing in the watch stopped working, brought it in. Apple Store offered him a free hug. A consoling hug and said it'll be 7 days before we can return it. Is that right? Come back in a week and we'll return it? Who knows when you'll get a new one? Yeah. The Apple Watch does not drive my car. So there's that. 8888 Ask Leo. Heather Hammond, the phone ranger, is in the house. She drove up in her unself-driving car, the car that she has to pilot. But you look good doing it. Cute little BMW. You sporty going up the freeway. Did you put the top down?
Well, not today, but yesterday when I left.
Did you?
Head.
Wind blowing in your hair?
Yeah, nice. Hair everywhere.
How fun is that? Who should I talk to here?
Well, we were talking about smartwatches, and so is John in South Pasadena.
Oh, I'm willing. I got them. I got all kinds of smartwatches. I've worn every one ever. Hi, John.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, and very interesting what you were talking about on the cars. Very, very interesting.
You know, traffic jams will be eliminated, I believe, because traffic jams are caused by humans.
Yeah, and they'll be able to read the ice, the black ice you were talking about.
I think they'll know what to do.
Temperature.
Yeah.
And it'll be like ABS brakes, in a sense.
Exactly.
And, it'll be great, just like when my first ride at Disneyland bumper cars. Right? When I said, why can't we have cars that drive like this?
Won't it be scary, though? I know I'll be terrified the first time I get in a car and there's no steering wheel, brake, or accelerator.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it just goes whizzes off.
Yeah, I do like to go around a curve kind of fast once in a while, just because I'm a guy.
I like to drive. I mean, that's one of the things Ford's always said. People like to drive. Remember, yeah. Ford isn't going to afford. I don't think any of the car manufacturers really will be in the lead here because the whole point of self-driving cars eventually is eliminating car ownership or reducing it because we all have more cars than we need.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
one in the garage, one in the driveway. You're driving one, but the other one, isn't being used much. And if you could just summon a vehicle when you need it,
yeah, not be attached to it.
Not be attached to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be good because it wouldn't matter if it got dented. But
Right. It's not mine. Not mine. That's why, by the way, you wonder why all the money is going into companies like Zipcar and Uber. It's because the investors are thinking about this future, and they figure in 10, 20 years this is going to be the thing. And they're looking for the companies that are going to be well-positioned. Uber is going to be well-positioned for this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they are.
What can I do for you?
I just had the thought the other day that, you know, when I – I've got a Panasonic Lumix and a few other Panasonic cameras. And I take a lot of pictures just for fun and much for work. And, you know, I just love taking photographs.
It's a great hobby.
Yeah.
It's a hobby that has results because then you have pictures of your life and your kids and your family, and it's great.
Yeah, and I've been doing it since with slides since the '70s.
Yeah,
from my grandfather.
Yeah,
so it's just fun, you know. And with the digital, you get boom, then it's just great. But when you want to set the you want to look at the viewfinder, not the viewfinder, but look at the back of the camera, hold it, and without setting it down on the timer, I would like to have a setup or a watch with that Taptic thing in there, just to be able to link it to the camera and move my arm so I can have my hand, a left hand or whatever, anywhere, and then just when I want to click it, boom.
Both Apple Watches and Android Wear watches do that.
Uh-huh.
So they have they have a camera app. I'll show you on the radio. I'll show you how it works on the Apple Watch. You should launch the camera app on the Apple Watch.
Right.
And then it launches the camera on the phone, and then it shows you on the watch the picture that the phone is getting, which is wild.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool? So you could, as you say, you put the phone somewhere where it's getting a good picture, you know, or you leave it. You could use it as a spy camera. You leave it, and then you could see what the phone picture is, and you could do two things. You can snap a picture. There's a button on it that just snaps a picture. Boom. Or there's a timer button on it, which I guess is the selfie button. So you press the timer button, it goes 3, 2, 1, snaps a picture.
Oh, but I've got a big smile on my face.
It's exactly what you want, right? You're not using your camera for this. You're using your smartphone, although most cameras now have many cameras. I shouldn't say most, but many cameras have Wi-Fi. And I imagine Canon and Nikon and others, maybe Panasonic, will make an app that will go on your watch and do the same thing. I could do that with my Sony camera now, with the Sony Play Memories app. I can't do it on the watch, but I could do it on the phone and use the phone as a release, as a shutter release. So, and it's nice because on the phone you see the image in a really good quality. The watch is a little small; it's postage stamp
size. Yeah, yeah. I have a Mac Mini, and then I have an Android phone. And I've only had a smartphone for about a year and a half.
Any Android Wear watch will do this.
Fabulous.
It'll show you the image on the watch. There are Android Wear watches from LG because they use better screens. So the Android Wear watch that looks the best, I think, is the Moto 360, but it's an LCD and it's not as good. For photography especially, you'd like an OLED screen, and both the LG G Watch R, I think, the round one, and the new one, the Urbane, the Watch Urbane, and which I have and I like a lot, have beautiful OLED screens that give you a pretty good view of your camera, of your picture. Now, you have to have the Android phone, of course, but other than that, and they have to be paired.
Right, yeah, and so that's great.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun.
I'm going to have to buy a camera to match the new match.
My favorite, the Sony, with the Sony Play Memories, works really nicely connected to the phone. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I should talk about this, actually. This is a good project. Good product here. This is ZipRecruiter. You know about ZipRecruiter? Are you, if you're the person who's responsible for hiring in your business, man, you got to know about ZipRecruiter. We save so much time using ZipRecruiter. Here's the thing, everything's changed thanks to job boards. The problem is every job board kind of has its special, ability, secret skill. And wouldn't it be nice if you could just, post to every job board? Well, you can with ZipRecruiter. You could post to 100 plus job boards, but that includes Twitter and Facebook and Craigslist. With one submission, you're getting all of those jobs posted. Now, you may say, but Leo, I don't want a million resumes flooding my inbox. Well, here's the beauty part. They do the screening. So all of the candidates roll into the ZipRecruiter interface, you don't get emails, you don't get calls. You just get a really easy way to screen them, rate them, and hire the right person fast. I am a big fan. We love ZipRecruiter. You'll be instantly matched, by the way, to candidates with over 4 million resumes in their database. So you may post it and seconds later get the right person. So many companies use ZipRecruiter. Here's just a few of them, and of course we do too. Post once. Within 24 hours, your candidates will be rolling into their easy-to-use interface. 400,000-plus companies have used ZipRecruiter, and I want you to try it free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/techguy, ZipRecruiter.com/techguy. You get 4 days free, enough to get all your hiring done. I'm a big fan. You will be, too. If you've got to hire the right person, I almost said fire the right person. They don't help you with that. If you got to hire the right person, actually, they do, because then you can fire that guy and hire the right one fast. ZipRecruiter.com/techguy. We love it. We love it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. We're talking high tech with you. High tech could be anything with a chip in it. Smart watch, smartphone, cameras. I love talking digital photography. Chris Marquardt won't be here, though. He's off to Nepal, and I think he'll end up in Nepal. He's going all over that area for a photographic workshop. He'll be gone for a few weeks. But you will still be required to submit your photographic assignment. If you like taking pictures, it's not a competition. It's just for fun. Every month, Chris will give us a new assignment, new picture to take. And you are invited to take a picture that illustrates the word or concept and then upload it to Flickr and our tech guy group. The word, the current assignment this week, what is it? Is it relief? I think it's relief. Is that right? Yes. So that's it. That's all we say. Relief. What does that mean? I don't know. You have to figure that out. Take a picture illustrating it. And then upload the picture to Flickr with the tag relief. And when Chris comes back, we'll review them. Back to the phones we go. Evan in Cary, North Carolina. Hi, Evan. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good. Well, I have a YouTube channel right now. And right now I can only do vlogs, but I really want to do Let's Plays.
Wait a minute. Don't you have to be 13 to do a YouTube channel? No. I'm 13. Say, yes, Leo, but I'm 14.
Yes, Leo, but I'm 14.
So the reason, by the way, just so you know, the reason for that is the Child Online Protection Act. Congress passed a law that said that companies could not collect information about people under 13. That seems fair. Because it'd be used against you, you know, maybe advertising and so forth. So in order for a person under 13 to use Facebook or YouTube or almost any site, I mean, the sites could say, okay, well, we won't collect information, but no, instead what they decide to do is, oh, we're going to collect information. We'll just get parental permission. Or we won't let you use it at all. Facebook and YouTube, I think you just can't use it at all. But, you know, so...
Yeah, I don't have a Facebook or anything. I only do YouTube.
Who am I to judge? You're 14. So what?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Exactly. So what are you doing now?
You like an 8-year-old.
No, not in the least. You sound like a brilliant young man. So what are you doing right now, Cary? No, your name's not Cary. You ain't Cary. What are you doing right now, Evan?
Well, I'm just in my uncle's room and...
I mean on YouTube.
Oh, well, right now I'm basically doing vlogs and I'm like...
You're doing a video blog, a vlog. So you're
like
saying...
small little things of me doing silly
That's
stuff.
Awesome. In fact, if I were your parents, I'd think that's great. As long as, you know...
Yeah, my mom thinks so.
And they talk with you about the rules about not telling anybody personal information or where you go to school or where you live. They tell you the rules that you shouldn't show pictures of mom in the shower. You have to, you know, respect other people's privacies too, right?
Yeah.
One of the things I worry about in school these days is even if you don't go on Facebook, there might be some kid who takes a video of you that's embarrassing.
Yeah, like I actually, well, I go to a school and my friend really wanted to come with me and be on YouTube. So I'm like, okay, but just don't say the name of our school.
Good man.
It's kind of private.
And he should probably ask his parents if it's okay, that kind of thing. You understand. Yeah, we're just trying to protect you online. That's all. And it's fine.
Yeah,
I mean, what's
I know.
What's great is you can make videos and have an audience. Your friends can see it. It's fun. So you said you want to do Let's Play.
Well,
that's
my videos already have 55 views.
Nice. Evan, you're a budding YouTube star.
Yeah. But
what do you do to take, what do you use to take the video?
Oh, I use an iPad mini. Now, the thing is, I want to start doing Let's Plays of Five Nights at Freddy's and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah, you love that. Isn't that a fun game?
I'm technically the master because I made it to all the secret nights.
You have?
Yeah, I've made it to all the secret nights, and my sister's jealous. Everyone's jealous of me.
Is that the original Five Nights at Freddy's?
Everyone.
And I made
a video on my YouTube channel. I went online onto the creators of the game's website, and I saw a teaser for the fourth one.
Yeah.
So I uploaded a video talking about that and stuff.
Nice. So do you play what do you play Five Nights at Freddy's on? Do you play it on the computer or on
I
the...
I use my iPad mini, but the thing is, I want to use the camera so I could record what's on the screen. But I can't really use that, and I went on YouTube to try and...
Well, let me explain. Hold on a second, Evan. Let me explain to the grown-ups. They don't understand computers too well. So let me explain to them, okay, what you're doing, just so they understand.
Yeah.
So the game Five Nights at Freddy's, which, by the way, I'm terrible at. I get killed in the first night every time. Those darn critters. You're stuck in a pizza parlor. It's like an old Chuck E. Cheese. It's not, though. What's the name of it?
It's a horror Chuck E. Cheese. People.
Yeah. What's the name of it, though? It's Freddy Fazbear's...
Pizzeria. There are four main animatronics. There's one secret animatronic, Golden Freddy. The backstory is kind of grim. And
okay. Yeah, you don't have to. Okay, hold on, Evan. You know way too much about this game. Anyway, so what? A Let's Play video is very popular. The number one guy on YouTube.
I want to put it on YouTube.
Yeah, the number one guy on YouTube, PewDiePie, makes millions of dollars a year. That's all he does. He's from Sweden.
But he also says some cuss words.
He says a lot of cuss words, so don't you watch his videos. They'll teach you bad words.
I watch Tobuscus.
Good. And no cuss words there?
No, he's like, nugget in a biscuit. He's a very funny
That's
guy.
Better. It's funnier if you think about it. Instead of saying the cuss word, to say something silly as the cuss word.
Like,
that's funnier.
Oh, God, nugget biscuit.
Nugget that's biscuit. Like. Yeah, that's a good. That's a much better cuss word. And it's just as good, right?
Yeah.
So, you do the same. So, he wants to shoot a video of him playing the game. And these Let's Play videos, you see the game, because part of it is learning to play the game. Right. But sometimes you see a little picture of you.
I find a way to do it on my iPad, and I went online to search for videos on how to do it. And they did, like, stack books on top of each other, use tape, and put a phone on top of it. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to do this. Then I heard about this app called Jailbreak.
No, don't jailbreak your phone. That's not a good idea.
I'm like, it's probably going to make me go to Juby, so.
No, it won't make you. It's not illegal, Apple, despite what Apple tells you, to jailbreak, but it makes your phone less, your iPad less reliable. So what you're looking for is, and that's why I asked you how you played it, because you can play on the computer. Most of the people who do Let's Play videos.
I don't want to use a computer. I just want to use what I can get from my mini iPad.
Okay. So you're going to need another camera to shoot you and the iPad. In other words, right? You know, here's what you could do. If you had another camera that's shooting over your shoulder and you could set it just right, and that's why they say books and stuff, because you have to put it on something solid. You can get, you know what I would get is a company called Joby, J-O-B-Y. They make a thing called a Gorilla Pod, which is a tripod with bendy legs. They're really useful. They're not very expensive. And you can get one to fit a camera. You need to get a camera, too, or maybe borrow mom's phone.
Yeah.
And then you're going to put that on the Joby so that it's steady, and you're going to position it so that it fills Get the iPad mini fills the camera so you see the whole screen, right? That'll give you the screen. And then, you know what you could do is glue a little mirror. Or not glue. Don't glue it. Put a little mirror on the iPad that shows you. And that,
yeah, for a face cam?
Yeah, for the face cam. And then that way you'd get both. Let me look around, though. I wonder if there's a program that will use the that'll inset the iPad's camera into Freddie Fazbear's. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And then, wait a minute, hold on, don't go away. Sorry, Evan, I had to take a commercial break, but you're still on. So,
okay.
So, let me turn that guy down. He's so boring. Okay, he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just one question.
Okay.
Is there any apps that I can install so it could just allow me to straight away film what's on the iPad mini?
To capture it?
Yeah, to capture.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way to capture video on an iPad because Apple wants to keep you from having programs talk to each other like that. So that's why people jailbreak, because then you can download unapproved applications that Apple doesn't approve that will let you do that. The problem is it's very risky because you don't know where those applications came from. You don't know who wrote them, and it could really mess up your iPad, and then that wouldn't be fun.
Yeah.
Do you have a computer? Do you have a computer anywhere? A Windows computer anywhere that you could use?
Well, my uncle does have a computer, but he uses it a lot. But I might be able to persuade him to let me use it while he's going out to Chicago because he's going to a tournament for a video game.
Oh, your uncle's pretty serious about games too.
Yeah. him and his friends come almost every day.
So Uncle will have Steam.
Games on our big TV.
Yeah, Uncle will have Steam, and
Steam. I have a Steam account too.
Yeah, so Steam has Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, but I would prefer using what I already have on it because the only thing I have on Steam is like the free stuff like. My uncle got me Portal 2, but I use Steam on my aunt's computer, and my aunt's computer broke, and Portal 2 will just, glitch out. It's, only light.
Right.
It's like staring into the sun on your computer. I'm just going to say that.
Hold on a second, Evan. We're going to restart the stream. I know people are having weird looping and stuff, so we're gonna reboot the stream. So for those of you watching the live stream, we'll go black for a moment. We'll be right back. So, Evan, there might be a... All of this is going to cost you money, and you don't want to spend money.
Yeah, but I do save up my money, but right now I have, because today I'm going to go run some errands, and I'm probably going to get some stuff for doing a DIY project.
Oh, what's your DIY project?
Oh, I'm going to be making Minecraft potions in real life.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to dissolve Jolly Ranchers in water. And at Michael's, they have these little, potion bottles. And they look exactly like the ones in Minecraft, so...
Evan, are you super smart?
Yes, actually, I've gotten 4 4s, which is the highest grade in my school.
Nice, Evan.
On reading, literature, arts.
I love it. You're super smart. I think you're doing great. You know what? There'll be a way to figure this out, I'm sure, but it probably won't be on your iPad. You probably have to do it on a computer. There are little dongles you can get for your iPad that'll put it on a screen, but I think the best thing to do is to get a camera and shoot your iPad, and you can even get in front of it and say, so I'm going to try this, and it'll get your voice, it'll get the iPad, it'll be kind of fun. I think you should try that, maybe get your uncle or somebody to get you an old flip cam or something.
Yeah, but what was the thing for the camera that will hold it steady over the iPad, what was it
Joby called? Gorilla Pod. Hey, I got to run now, okay? Joby, okay. J-O-B-Y, Gorilla Pod. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Here's an interesting thing for Evan, our 8-year-old, and I thank the chat room. I'm sorry I missed your name. Let me look back and see so I can give you credit here. Bill Hicks. Thank you, Bill. SHOU.TV, Evan. SHOU.TV. They pronounce it Show TV. And it's a community for Android and iOS gamers to broadcast, watch, chat, but you do have to jailbreak it. So that is probably, Evan, what you're thinking about. I'm not crazy about the idea of jailbreaking. I'm really not, because you don't then have the certainty that the programs you're installing are safe. Apparently, there's a way to do it without jailbreaking. You need a screen recorder. Doesn't work that well. Just, Evan, go to shou.tv and maybe you can find out more. I think the best thing to do would be just use a video camera. Shoot your screen, and then shoot you. You know, you could turn around and say, hey, look what I just figured out. There's a secret animatronic in Five Nights at Freddy's. Scary game. Don't play that game. Scary. Andrew in Sonoma, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Leo. Thanks for taking my call. Longtime listener.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I'm just ordered a new computer, one of those ones with the new Intel 750.
Ah, and nice.
The PCIe Express drive, you know?
Yeah, that's going to make a huge difference in speed.
Yeah, I do a lot of video editing.
Yeah.
So what I want to do now is I want to keep my new computer off the internet completely.
Ah.
You know, for protection. So I'm going to use my old computer for, you know, everything else, word processing and all that. But for the video editing, I'm going to use the new computer. But how can I set it up so that I can use both monitor, mouse, and keyboard with one monitor, but switch back and forth between the two computers and share files, but not connect the new one to the internet?
Easily. Well, let me think. There's hardware ways to do it that will not involve the internet. You need a KMV switch. And that will let you do it. Now, there's also software ways, but for that to work, I'll call it the air-gapped computer, because you want to keep an air gap between it and the outside world. The air-gapped computer will have to be on the Wi-Fi network. So I think Wi-Fi is, if you really want to keep that isolated from the internet, Wi-Fi is probably a bad idea. So I'd say your KVM switch doesn't, you know, the drawback on KVM is that you switch back and forth. So you're using one keyboard, one mouse, one monitor, and you switch between the computers. That's probably all right, though, right?
That's exactly what I want.
Yeah. Yeah, a KVM switch. And that will not... don't get a Wi-Fi one, though. Get a hardware one. So that you get them, and it's a box and on the back that has all the connectors for both computers, and then the connector for a keyboard, mouse, and monitor. The Triplite makes them. I like Triplites. I've used KVM switches from IO Gear for years. That's what we used on the old TV show.
But how do I transfer files back and forth between the two?
Oh, I missed that part. You want to transfer files back and forth. Yeah, in order to do that, you could do it via SneakerNet. You could do it via a direct connect. You could have an Ethernet cable between the two.
Is that something that's pretty easy to set up, the Ethernet cable?
Let me think. Yeah, because all Macintoshes will
it's PC.
Oh, they're PCs. That's right. What am I saying? PCs, of course. I would guess most PCs can handle a straight-through cable and automatically flip it. If not, you'll have to get a special kind of Ethernet cable. And then, yeah, you could do that. I understand your goal is to keep that editing computer free of viruses. I think if you've got I'll be honest with you. I think maybe you're overdoing it. If you've got, I mean, it would be a lot easier if you had them both on a Wi-Fi or a wired network, right? And you could make sure that the new computer doesn't go online by disabling its ability to go online. You know, turn up the Internet Explorer Internet settings to top security. keep it offline, but it would still be on the network. Remember, the router, which you have to use to do this, is going to be the thing that is on the network, really. And so it's going to be...
I don't use administrator accounts on any of my PCs for every day.
Good. You're going to be fine. I wouldn't... You can overdo this and make it... Yes, there's a trade-off between security and convenience. You're giving up more convenience, I think, than you have to. You're more secure with if a computer's air-gapped, you're right. Because if it's not connected to the internet, you can't get a virus unless somebody brings one in. But I think you could probably be fine if you just made sure you disabled internet on the new computer, but you allowed Wi-Fi or wired networking if they're next to each other. And the router is going to keep you from getting online. You could probably use what they call a crossover cable, although I think most PCs will automatically do it with a straight-through Ethernet cable and connect the two to each other and have them talk to each other, a local area network.
Okay.
I think you're probably maybe over-worried than you need to be.
Yeah, that's normal. Hey, if I could.
Yes.
There's 13 cousins of us. We share my grandfather's old cabin up in Gurneyville, up in Sonoma.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it's great, except trying to manipulate 13 people sharing one cabin is murder.
You need scheduling software.
Yeah, I need some kind of online application or something that, we can say, hey, I'm not going up this weekend. It's available.
Ah.
Do you need anything like that?
Well, people that I know use shared Google calendars to do that. But I bet you there would be a program dedicated. I just don't know off the top of my head. You know what? Let's listen for another caller or a chat room who can help us with scheduling. There's got to be, right? Scheduling software that would help you solve the scheduling problem. I mean, Google Calendar, you could have a shared cabin calendar that everybody can access in their Google Calendar locally. And by the way, they don't even have to use Google Calendar. They can subscribe to it on their Macs or on their PCs, subscribe to those calendars. You'll see where it's in use. That's what I would do. But there may be dedicated software for it. Let me jump back to your previous question because the chat room's been great in suggestions. It's easy enough to make sure that a computer, even though it's on your internal local area network, can't get online. You can block it at the router. The router can say no internet access for that. Admittedly, that's not perfect because you're still on a network with another computer. That computer is online. It's conceivable computer one, the online computer, could get something that jumps over to the other computer. Anytime... you might as well be on the internet if you're connected to any computer that can be on the internet, is my point. It's not unusual to have a virus, a worm that will jump if you've got the two connected, jump from one to the other. So air gapping means air gapping. There is air between your computer and the outside world. I don't think you have to go that far. If you're not running as administrator, you follow some. You don't use a browser. Don't use a browser on the editing computer. You don't need one. That's how you would get a bad virus anyway. And then try to be smart, I think, with the computer that does go on the internet, because it is conceivable it can get infected with an infection that will go to the computer that's not on the internet because they are on the same network. So, I use computers on the internet all the time. And knock on wood, nothing bad has happened. I've never gotten an infection. I think if you know what you're doing, you're probably going to be fine, unless you're under attack. What's the bad guys want you? I have used an app called the Cozy Family Calendar, COZI. That's more for chores. I'm trying to think if there's something for the cabin. I think Google Calendar probably the easiest way to do that. News at the top of the hour next. We'll be back. More of your calls to come. Leo Laporte, I am the tech guy. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, smartphones, home theater, digital photography, and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo is the number. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. The website, techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. Let's go to Marilee in Highland, Indiana. Hello, Marilee.
Hi. How you doing, Leo?
I'm well. How are you? Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, that's all right. It's worth it. I'm a long, long time listener. Used to record you on my beta.
Oh, that is a long time listener. Do you still have the beta?
No, we got rid of that not too long ago.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of over, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think VHS won. I hate to say it.
Had my wedding video on it.
So. Oh, yeah. You see, you can't get rid of it, can you?
We transferred it to DVD.
Good. Good. Who'd you have do that?
Costco.
And they did a good job?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Good. Nice.
Well, wasn't bad at all.
What can I do for you today?
Well, Leo, my husband and I are both artists.
Nice.
He's a master watercolorist.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I am a graphic designer and also do marketing. So, you know, our jobs, we make our money when we do something. Right. And my husband, I want to make money while we sleep.
Oh, only Warren Buffett gets to do that.
I know.
But I admit that's a great idea.
Yeah, well, you know, you do books and your books sell whether you're awake.
Yeah. So, that's a good idea. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to do a book, but he's really an outstanding instructor. He teaches. He's been teaching for 30 plus years. He teaches in Chicago. He teaches at a museum outside of Chicago and another school. And so we started toying around with the idea of doing on-school tutorials.
What a great idea.
And I think that with my knowledge, you know, I've done TV, I've done all kinds of in the advertising world, so at least I have a concept of how, you know, things are supposed to be done. So my question is, we're thinking of doing one of two things. We're going to beta test it.
Oh, wow. This is sophisticated here. All right.
So we're going to do one. It would be like a one-hour DVD.
Okay.
Or a training online.
I'd go online. I think... increasingly, fewer and fewer people have DVDs. It's the Betamax of the 2010s.
I know.
On the other hand, so your watercolor lessons, it might be, in fact, that a lot of older people perhaps who do have DVDs. I know my mom would want it on DVD, right?
Right, and that's part of his market. His perfect client is a woman who's an empty nester.
Mm-hmm.
She's in her mid-50s.
Yeah.
And she has... a little, you know, she has a hobby money.
See, this is great because you, as a marketer, know that you need to profile this customer.
Right, and we've figured out three of his students who his perfect client is.
Yeah.
But of course, the younger people are going online.
Right, and you should look at people like Lynda, LYNDA.com.
Well, there's two ways of setting up the class structure. One is going to be a 1 hour tutorial that might be done on. Vimeo on demand.
Uh-huh.
Or the other structure would be set up like lynda.com where it's, you know, little nuggets of information because people don't have an attention span anymore.
And you want to do this yourself because you'll make more money.
Right, exactly.
All right. As long as you understand you're going to be in the video production business. You know that, fortunately.
That's right.
So you're going to spend some capital up front to do that. You got to get cameras and a set and all that stuff.
Right, right.
But although that way you control it, and once you've made the investment, it's done.
Yeah.
The nice thing is you don't have to do exclusively DVD or online. You can do both.
Right.
And I think you should, because I think different audiences will prefer different formats.
So my big question is, I had to go down into the Chicago last week, and I talked to the Michigan Avenue Apple store. And then a couple weeks earlier, I stopped at a suburban Apple store, and they both gave me different direction on which computer to get.
Ah.
Which kind of, and I've had a Power Mac back in the early 90s.
So you're used to Mac. There's no reason not to get a Mac. They're excellent for video editing.
And I also have, I'm going to be editing it with, I have Premiere Pro CS5.
Fantastic. So you already have, because you bought the Creative Suite from Adobe.
Right.
You got the Premiere, which is the editing program we use here at our studios. It's a very good editor.
So my big dilemma is, the fella out in the burbs told me to get the iMac with the Retina display 5K. And then the fella in the downtown Chicago said, I should consider instead to get the CPU.
The Mac Pro.
The Mac Pro.
Yeah, I disagree.
No Mac Pro?
No, the iMac is in some respects faster than the Mac Pro. It's a better display unless you go out and get a 5K. Actually, you can't even get a 5K display for the Mac Pro.
Because your clientele's not going to be seeing it on a 5K.
No, but you know what you get out of that big display is you can have more controls on the screen. It makes it easier to edit because you have more screen real estate.
Well, I've got a big screen right now. Yeah. I'm historically, every 5 years, I get a new computer.
Yeah, I think you'll love the 5K. It's the iMac is gorgeous. More than fast enough. It's not particularly demanding. The only issue is because it's a solid-state drive, it's a relatively small drive. But it has Thunderbolt ports, so you can have an external drive. That's where you'll probably store video files as you're working on a video. Well, you'll also have to get a super drive in either case because you've got to, if you're going to make DVDs, you've got to burn them.
Right. Well, eventually, hopefully, he gets so popular that I can just farm that out.
Absolutely. Go to Lulu or somebody and have them make the DVDs. Right. In fact, that's what I would do is a print-on-demand service like Lulu.com.
Now, he did tell me when I'm getting the 5K built, he said the memory, that really didn't matter, to leave it at where it's at, which I believe is like 8 gigabytes. They offer it 16 and 32.
You want 16 gigs of RAM.
Okay.
I think. More memory makes a big difference. We put 32, but we buy PCs, but we put 32 in our premium machines.
Okay.
But 16's fine.
Now, how about the processor? You know, they offer two processors, the 0.5 gigahertz quad core, and then the 4.0 gigahertz quad core.
Get the faster clock speed. It's not the number of cores that matter to you. Because when you're editing, you're really not using multiple cores, but you do want the fastest clock speed.
So that would be the upgrade.
The five gigahertz. You know, this is going to be a business for you. Truth is, the 4 would be fine.
Okay.
Plenty fast enough. These are very fast machines.
Yeah, I know. Right now, I'm working off a 5-year-old laptop, and then for desktop publishing, I'm still using a 10-year-old Mac, but desktop publishing, if you're doing an ad or
I would get the iMac. I think the guy in the burbs was right.
Okay.
Because the Mac Pro is a big investment, and you still have to buy all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
I bought a Mac Pro, and frankly, the new iMac is faster. I'm a little mad at Apple.
Huh. Now, he also said to get the graphics card, too, to upgrade that.
Doesn't matter, because Premiere won't really take advantage of it.
Okay.
Faster clock speed's what you want.
Okay.
Rendering times in some cases are faster with a GPU, but I've seen tests in both directions. It's not clear that. It's funny, you're not the only person who's asked me this. A good friend of mine is a photographer, wants to do videos, asked this question. And we had a big debate going with all of our editors and our technical people, and it was non-conclusive. In my opinion, you do not need to get an upgraded video card.
Okay.
It's the CPU that matters.
All right. Then my second kind of question that is around this is, have you known anybody that's used Skillmaster or Vimeo On Demand?
No, I like Vimeo, and I've used Vimeo before. Don't know Skillmaster. YouTube is going to have a pay-per-view capability as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would get, if you can get it on YouTube, you're going to have the largest possible audience. So I would look at whether YouTube has the facilities you need for pay-per-view. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the number, 888-827-5536. Let me remind you, we have a great website. And James Ruvo's back, and he's writing down all the show notes as we go. And that's a great place to go for links to stuff I mentioned. And leave your comments and your thoughts. Quite a debate in the chat room over whether a 5K iMac would be better than a Mac Pro for our last caller's editing efforts. Marilee, if you go to techguylabs.com and look up your question, you'll see people have thoughts in both directions. A number of people point out that GPUs are used in computers, the graphics processor, for rendering. But that's the thing you do at the end when you've got the video shot and edited. And it's all done. You render it out into a format that you could put on a DVD or online. And really, you don't do that very much. You do it once. And the difference between rendering in 30 seconds and a minute, while on paper, that takes twice as long, you're going to get a cup of coffee either way. So I don't think it really matters. Even if you have to render all night, if it takes all night because it's an hour video and it takes a long time, a matter of, you know, an hour or two is not going to make that much difference, frankly. So I think that the 5K looks like the way to go still. But people will have comments, and you'll find that at TechGuyLabs.com. TechGuyLabs.com. Edward is in Oceanside, California. Hi, Edward. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How's it going today?
That's going great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I apologize for the background noise. I'm currently driving to a baseball game with my girls.
Oh, you're so lucky. What game are you going to?
We're going to go watch the Padres and the Nationals.
All right. What fun.
Yeah. So I was calling you because I had a question. So I recently switched from AT&T to T-Mobile, and I currently own the OnePlus One. I've been having a lot of issues with it, everything from rebooting to touchscreen issues.
Oh, dear.
I'm really getting tired of that. So I'm looking to switching to a more reliable phone, and I wanted to get your opinion on either the Motorola or the Galaxy phones.
So first of all, before you give up on that OnePlus One, I really like the OnePlus One, and I did not experience the issues you're having. I would try reformatting it and, you know, starting from scratch, factory reset. That sometimes can make a big difference. Then be judicious about which programs you reinstall. Only install the programs you absolutely have to have. The digitizer, that's the touch screen. If it's got a physical flaw, that's another matter. OnePlus One is in China, OnePlus, the company, and they're notoriously bad on service and support. I'd still put in an RMA and see if you ask them to get another one. They're no longer in such short supply, so you might actually be able to get a trade. Maybe you have something physically wrong. But I've had several OnePlus Ones. I think they're wonderful phones, so wouldn't give up on it. And the advantage, of course, is it's cheap. It's $300 to $350 for a state-of-the-art phone. Having said that, there's no new Motorola X. We're waiting for the 2015 Motorola X. That should be soon, next few months. The one you'd be getting if you got one is the 2014 version. Not a bad phone, not a great camera, not a great screen. Battery life, you're going to really miss the OnePlus One. The OnePlus One has the best battery life of any major phone right now. I was getting 20 hours easy, and that means I get from early morning to late at night without having to recharge or anything. The Galaxy phones, I think the Galaxy S6, which is the current Samsung Galaxy phone, is dynamite. It's got some issues, software issues. And apparently Samsung is pushing out a fix that might fix it. It needs to be rebooted every day. This is not good. There's a memory leak somewhere. It may be Android L. It may be the Lollipop operating system. I'm not sure. I haven't had that problem with other Lollipop-based phones, Android 5.0-based phones, but everybody agrees there's something going on. There's a memory leak or something going on with the Samsung Galaxy S6s. They need to be rebooted every day. Samsung is pushing out a fix as we speak. They've been doing it for the last few weeks. If you got a new one, you might actually get the fixed one, but I don't know. I haven't gotten it yet, so I don't know if it fixes it. If you want a big screen, the Note 4, which is the other current Galaxy phone from Samsung, it's 5.7 inches. It's a great phone. I haven't had any of the issues that I had with the Galaxy S6. Of course, it's still KitKat. They're slowly upgrading that to Android 5.0, to Lollipop. I have heard of lots of Lollipop problems. Maybe it must be Samsung and Android 5 have some issues. I'm not sure. So I think the choices at this point are not necessarily better than your OnePlus One. So first thing I'd do is I'd do a factory reset. See if you can get that thing back by just resetting it and not installing everything. Maybe there's something you install that's causing problems. If that doesn't fix it, I'd try to get an RMA from OnePlus and see if you can get a new one, get a swap. And if you can't, then maybe it is time to move on. Maybe that phone is physically messed up. I would also look at the LG G4. This just came out. I've ordered one, but don't have it yet. It is, I think, comparable to the S6 in many ways. It has a removable battery and an SD card like the Note 4, which means even if the battery life's not great, you can always have a second battery which you can pop in. I'm really concerned about Samsung and Android 5.0. I'm wondering if there's something that Samsung's doing with its interface that's causing problems with Lollipop. I know the Note 4, my recommendation on the Note 4 is to not get Android 5 on it until they fix this. Stay on KitKat. And probably if you could get S6 with KitKat, that would be the way to go. So there's some good choices. The OnePlus now is running Lollipop either as Cyanogen 12. That's its default operating system. But OnePlus also makes a version, very clean version of Android 5.0. They call their Oxygen OS, which I like a lot. You could put, it might be worth putting the Oxygen OS on your OnePlus. There are instructions on the OnePlus site for doing that. That might, if you're going to reset the phone anyway, maybe do that. That I've found really looks and runs great. Dr. Mom's pointing out in the chat room, and this is true, if you have a Note 4 on AT&T or Verizon, they're going to push it out to you. They're going to push Lollipop out, and there have been tons of problems. She's had problems, I think, with her Note 4 and the Android 5 update. That's, I wonder what's going on there. Lollipop itself is not problematic. I'm using it on a variety of Google devices like the Nexus 6 and on my Nexus 7 tablet. No problem at all. So I'm not sure what's going on. 8888 Ask Leo. Again, we'll put the show notes up at techguylabs.com. And your comments, your thoughts, that would be appreciated. And there's no charge. There's no sign up. I laugh at the notion. No sign up. I don't want your email address. Just get on in there. I wonder, people are in the chat room saying, you know, Android 5 maybe is a problem. Maybe has some problems. Google is apparently putting out a 5.2? I think 5.1.1 is out. They're 5.2, and everybody's hoping that whatever these memory leaks are, and that's what we think it is, there's a memory leak. Whatever these memory leaks are in Lollipop, that Google will finally fix this. They need to, because rebooting the phone every day, that's not good. 8888 Ask Leo, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Jim is in Houston, our next caller. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Leo.
How are you?
Just fine.
What can I do for you?
Well, I'm calling because I've been watching your Windows Weekly and Security Now.
Two of the podcasts we do on my Twit podcast network.
Right, right. And I've just kind of found you over about the last month.
Well, welcome.
I used to watch you years ago when you did Call for Help and
That's
all of
right.
that. I just love the program.
Well, thank you.
I went back and watched some of the past episodes online. And I'm kind of getting mixed signals on what to do with my security system.
All right.
House. I've got several computers here in the house,
mm-hmm.
and I want to you know have a good sound security system because I'm concerned about that issue.
When you say security, you mean computer security,
right?
Home security. Okay.
No, not home security. Okay. I'm talking about computer security.
Yeah.
Essentially, my internet provider provides me with McAfee for free.
Yick, don't use it.
Well, that's...
for free is exactly what it's worth. Are you? Which version of Windows are you using?
We're running 8.1 on everything.
All right, so Microsoft ships 8.1 with its own antivirus. That's all you need.
Okay, I've got a Surface Pro 3, and since I've been listening to you, I've set it up with Defender.
Yeah, it comes with Defender, and that's all you need.
Okay, and I was going to blow it away on these other computers, and so Defender reestablishes itself, I understand.
Just keep using it. The real issue is, does an antivirus do much good? And it doesn't.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, but I've got another question.
Okay.
That I've kind of been gotten conflicted information. Malware bits. A number of the tech support guys that I've dealt with have told me to put malware bits.
Under no circumstances. First of all, it's malware bytes. If you put malware bits on, it's going to be malware.
Okay.
Under no circumstances should you put malware bytes on your machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Is that clear enough?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
From time to time, I will recommend it because it has some good malware removal tools, although in my opinion, malware removal is not a good idea because you don't know what you've got on there. So if let's say there's two visible problems that malware bytes can see and remove, but there's one invisible rootkit. Well, you got rid of the two visible ones. The rootkit lives on because you got compromised, and you're just going to blithely go along with malware in your system. It gives you a false sense of confidence. So once you have malware in your system, there really is only one sane recourse, which is to start over. Anything else is risking leaving something on there that the program you used didn't see, and no program sees everything. Period.
Okay, so then just the whole support then for the computer should just be Windows Defender.
The whole support for the computer is you.
Okay, I understand.
Numero uno is your use. I think the reason finally Microsoft started building an antivirus into Windows is because they should. They held off because they didn't want to put these guys out of business. The good news is these guys are not out of business because there's plenty of people who go, oh, and they buy free trials and on all the PCs. You don't need any of that stuff. What you need to do is not run it as an administrator if you can do it.
Yeah, I've seen your list on all of that.
No, you know all this. Then get running your updates. Update anything that goes on the internet has to be religiously updated. I mean, your browser, Flash, Adobe Reader, Java, anything that could conceivably go on the internet must be updated, because that's how bad guys get into your systems over the internet. And they always take advantage of exploits. There will always be exploits because software is imperfect. And in most cases, an antivirus will only, if you're lucky, help you after the fact. So it's not gonna, an antivirus does not block many infections, and it causes more issues. I personally do not believe in antiviruses, except the one provided by Microsoft. That's good, more than good enough. They also, most people don't know it, maybe because you listen to the shows, you know, they monthly, with a Microsoft Second Tuesday update something called the Malware Removal Tool, or Malicious Software Removal Tool, and that thing runs and will remove stuff that it finds, including stuff that's semi-malicious, like browser toolbars and hijacker objects and stuff like that. Mostly, though, it's you, not accepting stuff from the outside world.
Okay, the Windows tool, does it run automatically, or is it something?
It runs a non-thorough scan every month on the second Tuesday. It updates and runs a non-thorough scan, but you can run a thorough scan, and I often recommend doing that by clicking Windows R to launch the run and typing MRT. And that will launch the window. There's no icon. Microsoft doesn't put an icon in accessories or somewhere, I don't know, but they don't.
It's not part of Defender. It's something separate.
It's something separate.
Okay.
Both Apple and Microsoft have wisely decided to do this because there's no way to be sure that all of your users don't have stuff running. So they get the worst of the stuff.
Okay.
But I think that's sufficient. The main thing is, if you get a link in email, don't click it. If somebody gets on Facebook and says, you won't believe what you did last night, click this link, don't click it. And if you do and it says you need to download something, don't, whatever you do, download it. You should only get stuff you have asked for specifically and expect. And that does include updates.
How do you protect yourself from, I've got all these friends send me all this stuff that's got attachments to it. How do you protect yourself from not getting something through those attachments?
Well, trust your instinct, because, if a friend sends you an attachment that you're expecting, and in the email it really is clearly your friend, it's probably okay. But if it's, you'll know, it'll feel a little weird. Like, did the friend send this? The grammar seems odd. Maybe the friend got corrupted or, attacked, and the bad guy's sending you stuff on their behalf. Attachments are risky if they're executables.
Okay.
It's very simple. In order for a bad guy to get your computer, he has to get you to run a program or has to be able to run a program without your assistance. But a program must be run to install malware in your system. So your job is to keep that from happening. Keeping things updated makes sure that there's no holes in Adobe Reader or Flash or Shockwave or your browser that can allow executables to be run without your permission. Most of the critical flaws are that. And then you being smart and not running programs, like if you get an attached .exe file, don't run that for sure.
Right, absolutely.
But there's also a lot of executable – you can do a Google search for executable programs. There's a lot of extensions you don't know that are executable. So you want to be careful That's why I say I have to give you this blanket rule, do not open attachments. In truth, the real rule is don't open executable attachments, but it's hard to tell.
Okay. So if you're not the administrator, though, it wouldn't run, right?
Well, that's the good news. Yes, that's why that works. And you'll notice this, and that's why it's inconvenient as well. In order to install a program, you have to be an administrator.
Okay.
So if you click a link from a friend and you're just a standard user, and that program is trying to run and install something, it'll fail. It'll say you need to be an administrator, or it'll ask you for an administrator password. That's a dead giveaway.
All right.
You don't want to see that.
Very good to know.
I have not used, to be completely honest, anything but Defender ever on Windows 8, and I haven't had any problems at all.
Okay. Well, and let me ask a quick question here about setting yourself up as administrator. Essentially, right now I'm running as administrator.
Right. And this is a mistake, but this is the way Windows installs. You are an administrator. Yeah. It's certainly easier. My recommendation, you got to be careful because you can screw things up, is in your current account, create a new administrator account. Call it administrator. Right. The password could be the opposite of what your current password is. It doesn't have to be super secure. Then log into that administrator account and downgrade your main user account to standard user. That's the process. You want to be careful because you don't want to delete anything. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Yes, Leo. Talking with the chat room about phones. And the problem, you know, there's somebody in the chat room who loves his Chinese phone from Xiaomi. It's the Mi Note 4, which is a really amazing phone, very affordable and very powerful. In fact, there are a number of Chinese manufacturers, Huawei, ZTE, Xiaomi, that make really good phones for a very low price because that's all the market will bear in China. But don't sell these in the United States. And there's a reason why, even though you probably could go online, go to Alibaba and buy them, there's a reason why you might not want to. They may not support the frequencies that you need in the U.S., particularly for LTE data. That's very common. So you got to do some research before you buy a phone internationally to make sure that the phone will work in the U.S. In most cases, it'll work as a phone, but it may not give you the fastest data access. So that's something you got to pay attention to. Most people, in fact, I would guess 99.9% of you listening just go to the Verizon or AT&T or Sprint or T-Mobile store and get your phone that way. That way you know it'll work. Frank in, is it Richboro, PA? Hi, Frank. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you. Nice to have you.
Don't mean to change topics on you. But
oh, no, please do. I like to jump around.
Okay. I have the iPhone and the iPad, and they switched the connector to the lightning now. And is there a way to output my video so I can watch it in the car? The car has the RCA adapters. Is there such a creature? There used to be for the older one.
Yeah, you want lightning to composite, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. There are absolutely devices that'll do this. I think what you're going to end up doing is getting the Lightning adapter that outputs to HDMI, which the Apple sells. And then you can buy a $10 little dongle that will convert HDMI to composite. So you're going to have two things connected. It's kind of a pain. We actually talked about this yesterday on our show, The New Screensavers. One way to do this, you want to play back video in your car.
Right. On the screen.
For the kids?
What?
Yeah. So we had a caller who had an old iPod, 30-pin connector. No, maybe it was, yeah, 30-pin connector was dying. He wanted to buy a new Apple device, and he was worried about precisely this. How do I get my Lightning to the composite screens in the back of my car? And that'll do it. You get a Lightning to HDMI, and then and I'll put a link in the show notes. I can't remember the manufacturer, but there's a $10 HDMI to composite connector. But the other thing that Father Robert, our co-host, showed us, it was so cool, is a Raspberry Pi, about $35, that can run the equivalent of XBMC, runs a media player. It takes a little micro SD memory card. You could load it up with videos, put it in the Raspberry Pi, and the older it's $25 Raspberry Pis, the older ones had composite out. They would play directly into the seat. So you could use a $25 Raspberry Pi as a video player. I don't know if that's what you want to do, but that's an alternative way of going.
That's a good point. Good. Then
you can keep your iPhone to yourself.
right.
But you'd have to remember before you leave to copy the videos that you wanted onto the little micro SD card.
Right.
So there's two ways to go.
Using an older Apple TV and plugging it in.
Could do that too. Yeah. The issue is almost everything's going forward have HDMI, but all of those old in-seat monitors and TVs are the ones that came down from the ceiling. All of those old ones were composite. So right. you need a composite output. And it just means getting the appropriate converters in most cases.
Great. Thank you very much, Leo.
You're welcome. If you already have 30-pin connectors to the back of the seat, Squidbait in our chat room, nice name, says, why not just get a lightning to 30-pin cable? And you can do that. I've done that with the new stuff because I have docks and stuff that use 30-pin connectors, the old Apple connectors. And so I just get a lightning to 30-pin adapter, and then I can use my iPhone, my newer iPhone, with the older docks and so forth. That'll work as well. 8888-ASK-LEO. Oh, it won't work with video, says Zendrum, only with the audio. Ooh, that's bad. Okay, so that's part of the trick, isn't it, is you've got to get video out. That's the key. This little dongle that Father Robert recommended also removed copy protection, which means it's probably illegal. But it's important to remove the copy protection because otherwise, if you're playing back from a DVD or something, it'll say, wait a minute, this doesn't have HDCP, the high-def copy protection scheme, so I'm not going to play back because you were a pirate. You're not a pirate. You want to play back on your built-in monitor and your TV. Sorry, I'm not a pirate. I bought the DVD, darn it. Well, I don't know. I think you must be a pirate if you want to do that. Mark in Escondido, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I want to tell you, I've gone back since the old TV show, and I'm a first time, well, actually, I'm a 75th time caller, a first time getter inner.
Yeah, I'm glad you got in. I know it's hard, and I apologize, but welcome.
Oh, no, it's fine. If I would ever tell any of your listeners, just keep trying, because yeah. It's worth it.
Well, think about it. We're on 200 stations. We have 6 lines. Do the math. It's hard to get
in. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, anyway, I appreciate it.
Good.
Hey, I've got a question. I was gifted an old HP laptop, which was a nice gift, but the sound doesn't work. And I had talked to one of the techs down here, and he said it's really not worth going into a PC of this age to try to change
the sound card or anything
like that. And I was wondering, is there any such thing as an external sound card that you could just plug into the USB?
There is. In fact, you get better sound. First thing, though, is have you tried plugging headphones into it? Does it still not work as...
Yeah, okay. Everything I've done...
Okay, because sometimes if it were just the speakers that were shorted out or something on the laptop, the headphone jack might still work. But if you say it doesn't work, yeah, what you want, and there are a lot of companies that make these, is a USB sound card, in effect. In fact, people do this because they want better quality. The sound cards in most computers aren't great. A lot of times there's noise that's introduced because it's in there in the machine. But if you get a USB adapter, bits are going out. Bits don't get interfered with. When they come out, they get converted to analog sound on the little dongle. Lots of companies make these. They're not expensive, and it's actually a better way to go anyway. So you're looking for a USB DAC is the technical term, or digital to analog converter. And you can get very expensive ones, and you can get very inexpensive ones. The expensive ones are for audio files. They'll use higher quality DACs. You can spend hundreds or even thousands of dollars on these. The inexpensive ones are for people just like you. I'm looking on Amazon. I see a Syba, SYBA, that does this stereo USB stereo audio adapter. It's $7.99.
Oh wow! Are they cumbersome?
No, this one's just a little tiny doohickey that basically gives you new earphone and microphone holes. Now, I use a FIO, F-I-I-O. Those are a little, those are $25 to $75 and up. They give you a little bit better sound quality. They also have a built-in headphone amplifier if you're using headphones. If you're using speakers, you're probably using powered speakers. You don't need an amplifier on that. So there's, if you go to Amazon, there's a million of these. There's the Dragonfly. That's $150. That's a fancy one. That's an expensive one for audiophiles. My friend Patrick.
Oh, no, that's a good point. Now, hold on. If I'm just using the internal speakers.
You're going to need external speakers now.
Okay, so we just need to go that other way.
Yeah, or headphones. Headphones would work, too. Powered speakers, you know. This is an example of there's a wide range in prices depending on how golden your ears.
Right.
I think it'll sound just fine.
Well, I was thinking just about traveling, you know, just taking this, you know.
So you can get cheap computer speakers that would plug into this and be fine.
All right, very good. And then one more real quick question.
Oh, well, one other way to go, by the way, if that HP does Bluetooth, and it may, I'm not sure, depends on the age, you could get Bluetooth speakers for traveling. This is what I use. Then there's no wires at all. You send it out the Bluetooth to the speaker system.
Now, when you say Bluetooth, you mean Wi-Fi?
No, I mean Bluetooth.
Okay.
Bluetooth is another kind of short distance, 30-foot radio. And I use Bluetooth all the time. I'll bring – I have some Bose Bluetooth speakers. Lots of companies make them. The Jawbone Jawbone makes one. It's called the Jambox. And it will connect – pair just like Bluetooth headset if your computer supports Bluetooth. You could get a Bluetooth dongle. Then there's no wires. And for travel, I find that's really great because I can put the speaker anywhere I want in the hotel room and listen to it. The laptop can stay on the desk anywhere within 30 feet with no wires. So that's – maybe another way to go for travel. Consider Bluetooth. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, cell phones, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, and smartwatches. 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. You can also reach us via Skype if you're outside those areas. I know we have listeners all over the world. Thanks to Internet Radio. Right, Heather? Internet radio.
Damn straight.
Who was it that wanted to, he wanted to know, what did he want to know about internet radio?
He said, I am unsophisticated in some or other European accent, and he is living in a high-rise.
High-rise.
And cannot get AM radio very well.
But he can get the internet. The whole world is his oyster.
That's what I was trying to explain, and you didn't even seem to realize that the connection would be fantastic.
So there's a couple of ways to do this. Of course, we all nowadays, we're all listening to content, watching video over the internet. This is kind of accepted. This is how you can, you know, you don't even need a cable company anymore. As long as you've got internet, you can watch almost anything you want to watch. Internet radio, because it's audio, is even simpler and easier. You don't need as fast a stream. You can even buy a device that looks very much like a tabletop or a clock radio that will get radio stations from all over the world. When I was a kid, I used to have a shortwave radio. I remember doing this. And you'd go, and you'd tune down the, and you could get Russia, you know, and you'd hear the stuff. It was so much fun. Now it's easy. You don't, it all sounds perfect. You're getting it over the internet. Literally tens of thousands of stations. First place to start if you want to see what's out there is an internet radio directory. One of the biggest is called Receiva, Receiva.com. And Receiva has a directory of internet radio stations. So many internet radio stations you'll find at Receiva. And they also have, if you look, a variety of different radios that you can buy that use Receiva. For instance, if you go to C. Crane, they have, which is one of my favorite companies. Bob Crane's a great guy. He makes some really nice stuff. And C. Crane makes internet radios. They look just like regular radios, but they connect to your Wi-Fi. And you listen to, you tune it just like a regular radio. It's a little tricky because the first thing you have to do is log it into your Wi-Fi. So you have to use the knob and slowly enter your Wi-Fi password and stuff. But you only do that once. It's always got the accurate time because it gets that from the internet. And then you can go to most of these use Receiva, but others use other directory systems. So you can go on the web to Receiva.com, say what your favorite stations are, search through a directory of massive directory of stations. It's really kind of amazing. So C-Crane makes the CC Wi-Fi internet radio. It's about $100. Grace is another company that makes internet radios. But you can also, if you have a computer, listen to internet radio. Just Google internet radio, or you can even use iTunes. A lot of people don't know this, but iTunes has a radio section where you can use a ton of, you find a ton of radio stations and add more just by adding the right, what we call URL. You know, every website has an address, a URL. So do internet radio stations. And if you could find the URL, you can add it to iTunes. So there's a ton of ways to do this. I use a company called Sonos. They make speakers, Wi-Fi speakers for the house. And I tie my Sonos into a company called TuneIn, TuneIn Internet Radio, which is an app for iPhone and Android. But TuneIn also can use, you can use the internet, and they have many, many radio stations. Now, one thing you should know about, many of the stations that broadcast this show are Clear Channel stations. Clear Channel has its own radio solution called iHeartRadio. There's an iHeartRadio app, but there's also iHeartRadio.com. CBS, which is another radio company, does its own thing. And this is unfortunate, really. I wish everybody would just get along and the internet radio would be like internet websites where all you'd need is one program that would access them all. But unfortunately, it doesn't work quite that way. CBS wants, you know, all of its stations to be on its app. iHeartRadio has other stations that are only on iHeartRadio. Good news is it's not a big deal. These are all free apps. You can download them all or use them on the internet. So there are lots of places you can go, lots of websites. You don't need to be able to get radio reception to listen even to the local radio stations in your town. Almost all radio stations now have internet feeds, and that really makes it quite easy. Logitech Squeezebox, that's one of the early internet radios. There's quite a few. In fact, our chat room is listing a whole bunch of directories and devices. Let's see if we can capture all of those and put them in the website for techguylabs.com. techguylabs.com. And you can find our, by the way, this show is on almost everywhere. It's on iHeartRadio, of course, because we're Clear Channel. We're owned by Premier, but we also make podcasts of the show available, and those are on TuneIn and Stitcher and Slacker and Receiva and everywhere else you can go. So we like to make it easy to listen. Internet radio is an amazing thing, but it's still fun to have the shortwave. Peter in Dana Point, California. Hi, Peter. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm great. How's the surf?
It's a little flat. I'm actually looking at the ocean right now.
I bet you are. I'm so jealous.
Leo, I've had my credit card, my American Express, and my debit card stolen a number of times. And they happen in pairs. Like, my American Express will get stolen, and a week later, the number for my debit card will get stolen.
Well, do you mean stolen, like, physically or, like, by...
Oh, they've been hacked.
Yeah, on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens to me, too. It happens all the time. And it's not just internet. I mean, if you go to a restaurant, the server takes the card, disappears for 3 minutes. Who knows what they're doing back there?
Right.
It's easy. But the good news is, in the United States anyway, the banks pay. So you don't ever have to worry about liability. It's one of the things that's made credit card security in the U.S. slow to improve. That's going to change. This fall, you'll have to have a chip. In fact, you're going to start getting credit cards with chips. Those chips make it harder to steal credit cards, so that's good news. But I don't think that's what you're asking. What do you want to know?
Well, that was one question. Is there a way to combat that? And the other
And before I finish, I said this last week, I don't want to repeat this. Some, not all credit cards, but I think American Express and Discover do this, but inquire with your credit card company, will offer you one-time numbers. This is great. You can get a number that can only be used once, so even if somebody got it, useless. There's a site in Argentina that makes beautiful leather cases, but the last time I used it, my credit card was stolen. I'm very reluctant to use them again, but if I got this one-time number from my credit card company, it'd be safe. They also, in some cases, will make a number that can only be used at one merchant. So you give that to Amazon. Amazon keeps that on file, but you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. So you should inquire of your credit card company. Not all do this, but some do. one-time credit card numbers.
Okay.
That's a big help.
Well, my next question was, since this is happening, is there a good identity protection service that you recommend?
Yeah. This is, of course, the big fear. And that doesn't happen when you get a credit card stolen.
Right.
It happens when you get your Social Security number stolen. If somebody got your social, your date of birth, and an address, all bets are off. They're going to make new credit cards in your name. It'll go to, if they charge stuff and don't pay for it, it goes on your credit bill, and it will show up on your credit report for years. And that's identity theft or identity fraud, and that's a much bigger issue. Losing a credit card, having a bad charge, not a big deal. You call the company, they void the charge, they send you a new card. It's no harm, no foul. Only the merchant and the credit card company have to bear the brunt of that. But if you lose your identity, oh, it's all on you, baby. And it is murder to fix it. But I use a company called LifeLock, and I'll tell you what they do and what they don't do. We're going to have to take a break, though. There's a couple of solutions. I'll talk about them when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Jackie Blue, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're talking about a fascinating issue, which is how to prevent identity theft, because this is a big issue. And a lot of people, by the way, we're talking to Peter and Dana Point. I think the wind has kicked up a little bit. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Leo.
I think one of the issues, are you going down to the beach now?
I am leaving the beach.
I am so mad at you. I'm so jealous. It's probably chilly, though, right? It's freezing cold.
It's cold for here. It's like 68.
I hate you even more now. So, no, just kidding. People, I think, for a long time, very worried about using the internet because of identity theft. Again, a credit card number is not the problem. You do not want to give out your Social Security number. You want to avoid that at all costs. Unfortunately, to apply for credit, to get a cell phone, there are lots of things you do where you have to give them a credit card number. You can't buy a car without giving the car dealer your credit card, your Social Security number. You can't buy a smartphone without giving the wireless company your social, because they're doing credit check on you. And
right.
So that's a problem, because it's darn hard to get a new social. And that thing is tied to you. And it's really the key element of information that a bad guy needs to destroy your credit. So a few things that are important to do. One is, of course, guard that and give it out as little as possible, understanding that you're going to have to give it out. And there have been so many data breaches lately. Anthem, the health insurance company, I can't remember what the number was, tens of millions of customer records hacked, including socials. It's scary. So one thing to do, of course, monitor your credit report. You can get a credit report from all three big credit reporting agencies yearly for free. If you ever get turned down from credit, you can get a credit report at that time. Credit Karma will help you kind of keep an eye on your credit. That's a free service. Free credit report is not free. It says free, but in fact, almost certainly you're going to end up with a subscription. Because it's run by one of the big credit reporting agencies. So I don't recommend them, but Credit Karma does do an interesting thing. They can't technically give you your FICO score, but they can figure it out in some interesting ways. And so you can get some information from them. Certainly yearly you should look at your credit report, because that's where you'll see if people are taking out credit cards in your name. That's the first line of defense. As I said, credit cards are not so much the problem. You should protect yourself as best you can. You can put out a lock, and I would recommend this, although it's a little bit of a pain in the butt. You can put a lock on your account with all three credit unions. They hate doing this, and you'll have to renew it. And it's free to put the lock on. It costs money to take the lock off. When the lock is put on, no one can issue you a credit card. You can't get a loan. Nothing can happen. Which is not a bad idea. For somebody my age, I'm not going to be buying a new car for a while. I'm not going to be buying a house ever, I hope. It's not a pain. But it could cost you money if you're young and you're still getting loans and you're buying things and stuff like that. You want new credit cards and so forth.
I definitely appreciate that information.
Yeah. So I can't remember what they call the lock, but you have to call the three agencies and put the lock on. They have different rules. You should read the rules carefully. But that will work. That will prevent identity theft because nobody can get credit in your name.
So, very good.
It's a pain in the butt, but it's a good idea. And do protect. You might have to unfreeze your credit when you're applying for a job. That's an anytime somebody asks you for a social, the reason they're asking you, if you're buying a phone, the reason they're asking you is so they can run a credit report, and that will be blocked if you put a lock on your it's called a credit freeze or a credit hold. Thank you, Dr. Mom. So you need to call Experian, TransUnion, Equifax, the three big credit reporting agencies. I would go on their websites, look for information about credit holds or credit freezes. Read the rules, read the fine print. Generally speaking, they charge you to remove the freeze, not to put it on, knowing that you're going to have to do that more often than you think. It's security freeze at Experian. I think the companies are getting better, frankly. They're getting smarter about this. They realize this is an issue. Identity theft does not help them. It's certainly as bad for them as it is for you. Well, maybe not quite. But at the same time, how do they make their business? They make their business issuing credit reports. That's how they make money. So they're not crazy about these freezes. Peter, that was Peter in Dana Point. Chris is in Merced, California. Hi, Chris. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I was wondering about the iPhone 4. I had called my local Verizon provider and asked if I could switch my AT&T iPhone 4 to their Verizon company.
You can't.
Well, that's what he said. Well, what if I – is there any way, like, if I break into my phone or
no.
What do they call it?
It's so here's the thing. It's an old phone. And the older phones were either GSM or CDMA, Verizon's CDMA, AT&T's GSM. They don't work. They're different. The radios are different. They're incompatible. Modern phones, the iPhone 5 and later, are LTE-based phones. It's a new technology. All of them use LTE, and you can just swap the SIM. So, but you can't on your iPhone 4. That iPhone 4 is locked in. You can get it unlocked and use it on T-Mobile. That's all you can do. It has to be a GSM carrier. You're on AT&T, right?
Right.
Yeah. Your AT&T uses the GSM technology, or did, for the iPhone 4, and that means T-Mobile is the only option. Now, you'd have to get AT&T to unlock the phone. You've had it a long enough time. They will, if you're in good standing. And then you can move it to T-Mobile. You cannot move it to Verizon.
Okay, so if I get a new iPhone, what does the...
So now, the newer iPhones, if you get an iPhone 6, well, first of all, you can go to Verizon and say, I want to get out of AT&T, and they'll give you a very good deal on an iPhone 6 because they know they're going to lock you in. So that's your first line of defense. Now, once you've got a Verizon iPhone 6, they may not tell you this. There is something called carrier locking, and almost all phones, when you buy a phone from a carrier, they're locked to that carrier, and you have to get them to unlock it to move it to a different carrier. But there's an exception. Verizon had to make a deal with the Federal Communications Commission, a consent decree, that prevents them from locking the LTE chip. So they won't tell you this, but you can buy a Verizon iPhone and use it on any carrier by just swapping the SIM card because it's not carrier locked. In fact, I'm using, don't tell them, my Verizon iPhone 6 on AT&T. Shh, don't tell them. Now, AT&T going the other way, you have to ask them. They will unlock it if you've had it for 6 months and you're in good standing, that kind of thing. So
okay.
There's carrier locking. That's software. And then there's the physical incompatibility, and that's the problem you're having with your iPhone 4.
LTE, okay.
LTE solves all that. Everybody's moving to LTE.
Okay, all right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. GSM, it's a lot of gobbledygook. GSM. CDMA, those are the old ways. LTE is the future. And by the way, with LTE, it's data only. Even the voice will go over LTE. So that's slowly rolling out across the country. But carriers that do that give you better quality voice. And then it's all data all the time. 8888 Ask Leo. Half an hour still to go in the show. I think we have a couple of lines open. I'll try to get to y'all. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888-ASK. Leo, my colleague Clark Howard has a very good page on credit freezes. I'm going to put a link in our show notes at techguylabs.com. Of course, he does a national money and investing show, and he has a page that explains what a credit freeze is, why it would be good, why it may not be good in some cases. In most cases, it is, unless your job requires frequent credit reports or you're out there getting, you know, loans all the time. You probably can do well by it, but do read the page. And what's good about this page is he has links to all three credit reporting agencies and explains how each has to be worked with. You should also, you do need to check state laws because it's different in state to state. State legislatures get involved in this as well. And everybody's got an interest one way or the other. Your interest is protecting your identity and your credit. Unfortunately, that is at odds with others' interests. And so sometimes state legislatures have, unfortunately, disallowed this, which seems hard to believe. But I guess it's whoever gives the most money, I guess. Seems like this is obviously to the benefit of a consumer. In some cases, you have to send a certified letter. They don't make it easy, but they do allow it. And this is a big change. They didn't used to. They used to say you can only do this if you've had identity theft. By then, it's too late. So, again, I'll put a link in the show notes to the Clark Howard page, techguylabs.com. That's free. No sign up. No, I don't want your email address or anything. Just techguylabs.com. Michael in Hollywood, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Leo. How's it going today, man?
It's going well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm looking for a little guidance here. So I have a 2010 MacBook Pro 17-inch, and it's large.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Somebody posted a picture of the new MacBook sitting on a 17-inch MacBook Pro, and it's like you could just swallow up the new, the whole new MacBook.
Yeah, I bought it before I went to school, and I used it for film stuff and everything, and so it's great for that. But that now, what I'm using it for, I don't need it as much.
Yeah.
My question is, it's older and stuff, but and I'm looking at a MacBook Air. I'm a DJ, and so I travel around and carrying a 17-inch MacBook to events.
Yikes!
It's very comfortable.
I mean, it's better than bringing all your records, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so I've got a 2.66 gigahertz Intel i7, and it's got 8 gigs of RAM and 512 gigs of memory.
Yeah.
And anyways, I was wondering if the new MacBook Air, a 13-inch, with only 4 gigs, would be able to still handle what it is I'm doing. I feel like I have more than I need right now.
Yeah, I think it would. What program are you using for DJing?
Serato DJ.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the demands of it, but I would look at their site and see what they recommend. 4 gigs of RAM is almost certainly enough. Because really, all you're doing is you have two tracks. They're not that big. And you're mixing them together. They're not that big.
And I have all the music and everything is also on an external hard drive, too. So I don't know if that...
Well, you'll want to get one with a Thunderbolt port, but I think all the Macs now have Thunderbolt ports.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because that'll give you a fast connection to an external drive. USB 3 might even be fine, too.
Yeah, and I'm running like a USB 2 off this.
Yeah. So this 3 will be better. You don't want any lag when you load a song. You want it to load right away, obviously.
Exactly. So that's why I was worried about the RAM, and I would get a Thunderbolt hard drive as well, but I wanted to make sure that would be able to...
The problem with laptops is you can't... usually on the Macs, you can't expand the RAM. So you're making kind of a final decision. Almost every case, you can get an 8-gig machine that's slightly more expensive, a few $100 more expensive, usually has a bigger hard drive and more faster processor and that kind of thing. Might be worth it. I wouldn't steer away from the 13-inch MacBook Pro either. That is a great display, much better display than the Air. It's a little bit heavier. It's still very thin and light. It's certainly compared to your 17-inch.
Yeah. I was kind of straying towards the Air more for the cost wise.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's $999 for the base unit, which is pretty affordable for a Mac.
Exactly.
I do worry a little bit about 4 gigs. That's kind of
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. I just didn't know if the 8 gigs that I already had was what was keeping everything running so smoothly.
I would see if you could find another DJ using Serato, see if anybody's using it with 4 gigs of RAM. I just don't know whether that'll be enough. Audio is not demanding.
Yeah.
Compared to video, anyway. So it feels like it would work. But I hate to say it definitely will work because I just don't know the program. So
yeah, I was just curious if it would be like a definitely no, it can't.
If you're
if you
were asking me, I like to surf and I like to keep 20 tabs open, I'd say 4 gigs is not enough. But
that's not it.
But it's not what you're doing. And for a mobile DJ, I think probably it is, but I can't be sure. Let's see. We do have somebody in the chat room who says his business partner uses Serato and 4 gigs is enough. I think you're probably all right. I really do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I guess the one thing you do is bring it in to an Apple store. Say, can I just try this?
Yeah.
See if they'll let you.
I would wonder how they feel about me setting up an entire
They might.
In the middle of an Apple.
They're pretty good that way. They're pretty good
I'll
that
try
way.
It. I'll
if
try
you're
it.
Doing other things, you know, if you're doing more, maybe not. But if that's all you're doing, just running the DJ, I think that's going to be fine. I really do.
All
the
right.
songs, you look at the songs you're playing, they're a few hundred megabytes of data. They're not. So having two in memory, you still got plenty of room. The Gizwiz is coming up, our gadget honcho with, that was yesterday. No, never mind. This is Sunday, isn't it? We're going to wrap things up, though. We will have a final segment, and I'm going to get to all your calls, I promise. We're going to run through some calls in just a bit. Remember the website, techguylabs.com. That's the place to go when you need to know what I was talking about or maybe get the link or, you know, find out more information or make a comment. We'd like to do that, too. That's techguylabs.com. Leo Laporte, I am the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. Back to the phones, Greg, Santa Monica, California. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Leo.
I am well. How are you? What can I do for you?
I'm great. And I'm loving my new Apple Watch. Just a couple of things that I wanted to ask you, see if you can help me out with.
All right. You got to do the Apple Watch salute. Fist raised.
It's up.
Dvorak says we're just a bunch of fascists with our Apple Watch salutes. You know, it's funny because frankly, all smartwatches are roughly the same to me. But I have to say, the appeal of the Apple Watch is it's good looking. It does get the job done. It does what it says it'll do. I think it's pretty good. What is
yes,
your question?
It does.
Yeah.
You know, I own a training center where we train athletes all the way to everyday Joes.
Cool.
And our athletes are pretty strict on what the products they're using. They're using the Garmin 920 XT for
yes.
their cycling and running and
yes.
their heart rate monitor. Now, a couple of my clients have bought, you know, the Apple Watch lately, and we've quite loved it. We've been using it in the gym, using it out, you know, running. The only thing is we can't, the heart rate monitor is not the most accurate
yeah.
at the precise moment.
Nothing's going to beat a breast strap, I think.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. So, you know,
we connect to it.
You can't. Although I understand it will be polar compatible, or there will be machines that, you know, many machines support the polar strap right now. So you're on a treadmill or a bike, it will see the strap and give you the heart rate accurately. You don't have to hold the handles. The Apple Watch is close, but not exactly right. In fact, in general, I'd say as a workout device, it's for the casual athlete, not the serious fitness buff. My friend Adam Engst, who runs Tidbits, is a runner. He says, this is not going to replace my Garmin, especially now that Garmin has GPS built in. One thing I do notice, and Adam told me this, is to get an accurate stride measurement, you actually have to take a run or a walk outdoors with the watch, because that's how it figures your stride. It uses the GPS to see how far you've gone and then see how many steps you took, and then it does the division and actually adds that information to your profile so that your stride is more accurate. So certainly a good idea to, even if you work out indoors, to once go out and do an outdoor run or walk to get that watch calibrated. I don't know of any way to get the heart rate calibrated better. I think that in time you're going to see a lot of hardware that will work with an iPhone and the HealthKit app In fact, eventually you'll even see standalone apps for the watch. But this is early days yet, and as of right now, I don't know of any way to get a better heart rate.
My question to you is, there's a couple of apps that are Apple Watch apps. That's the Strava app, where a lot of cyclists use and
right.
a lot of runners.
Right.
And the Map My Run app.
Yep, love Map
you
My Run.
You can go into those apps and set the cadence off your bike and set the heart rate. And the Apple Store told me that I can pair a heart rate monitor Bluetooth-wise.
Ah.
I keep trying to do it, and it won't read it. Maybe because I have a Garmin heart rate strap that has to be a certain brand.
It might need to be Polar.
Okay.
Polar is kind of the well-known standard, and I have seen that Polar does supposedly work with the Apple Watch. I don't know about Garmin.
Okay.
So Polar apparently works with the Apple Health Kit. This is so early days, I don't know. And I do feel like it's going to get better, but I feel like at this point, and it sounds like you agree, it's really for the casual fitness buff like me, not for the serious workout guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, one input I would have, I love the watch. I'm used to a bulky Garmin.
Yeah.
I got the 42 yeah. millimeter. If they can make a nice 48, oh, I'd be so happy.
You know, I'm looking. The chat room's giving me 48 would be great. I have a 52 millimeter Android Wear watch, and I like the big size. I think one of the things that constrains these watches is the size means the user interface is difficult. There's a lot of buttons, yeah. a lot of fiddly bits, and I think it makes it hard. I am looking at articles in 9 to 5 Mac and elsewhere that say the Apple Watch is pretty accurate. 9 to 5 Mac compared it to the Mio Alpha. Which is supposedly the gold standard of chest strap monitors. And according to 9 to 5 Mac, it matched very well. But it may be that some people's wrists, you know, the way it works, it bounces light through your skin to the blood vessel and watches the movement of blood. That's what those green lights are. And we know that if you have a dense tattoo under your watch, it won't work. It may be that some people it works better for than other people. Mine feels like it's off a lot. Like it says I'm at 66 beats per minute, and I know it's at 80, and I just know it. And I agree with you. I think it maybe depends on how tight the watch is. It may depend on how much hair is on your arm, how thick your skin is, whether you've got a tattoo. It's for something the chat room says it's for the fit curious. That might be more accurate. But keep your eye peeled, because I do think that there'll be more and more devices that work with it. And I do seem to remember that I read that Polar straps will work with it, but I'm not sure how. It might have to work with the phone. John is in Fremont, Michigan. Hey, John, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Are you there? Oh, I turned you off. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Neil, hello.
Yeah, welcome. What can I do for you?
I've got an iPhone 5.
Yeah.
I charged it up.
Yeah.
I woke up in the morning. The Apple was blinking.
Oh, don't you hate it when that happens?
Yeah, because I'm an idiot, and apparently my backups didn't work.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know, so.
Oh, is it dead? Did you bring it to the Apple Store, and they said it's dead?
The Apple Store said hold the power button and the home button. For
right.
Thank you. Already tried that with the Sprint Store. He just said it said error when he plugged in on the computer.
Oh, that's not good. That does sound bad.
Any ideas? The thing is, apparently the iCloud was disabled when they set it up to iTunes.
And you never connect it to your iTunes? You never use the USB cable? Yeah.
Not since apparently 2012.
Oh, man.
There's 4,000 pictures out there. I'm wondering if you got an idea of somebody that might be able to do that. The Apple Store just said, here's a new phone. Well, that's kind of not the problem. You know, I hope you could get inside.
Well, you know, you... I don't. It is a standard memory chip on there, I believe. It's possible that one of those third parties that takes things apart might be able to read. You know, I'll tell you who you call. Drive Savers in Novato. If they don't do it, and they'll know if there's somebody that does, and if there's nobody that does, they'll know that. You're looking for, obviously, a recovery service for a dead iPhone because you want to get your video, your pictures off of there. Do try before you give up. Something Scooter X is reminding me, the DFU Restore. You can look on YouTube, and I would, because it requires precise timing as to the buttons. It's the next step past a reset. But the fact that you say they hooked it up at the Apple Store and got nothing sounds to me like that is one dead phone. And a warning to everybody, back it up. Turn on iCloud backup. I would suggest hooking it up via lightning cable to a computer with iTunes and backing it up physically as well. Don't trust the cloud entirely. Have a physical backup. And I am sorry. Yeah, the DFU is going to erase the phone, isn't it? So that's not a good solution. You got to do some way. You got to wake it up without erasing it. Drive Savers is, in fact, offering iPhone recovery. Holy cow. DriveSavers.com. Wow. That's amazing. They're the guys who could do it because they'd have to take the phone apart, take the chip out, and hook it up. And can I remind you, everybody, this is a good time to remember, back it up. We're done. We're out of time. I want to thank Nathan Staten, our musical director, for doing such a great job today, spinning the hits. Heather Hammond, the phone ranger, she's the best. Thank you for being here. I'll see you next time. Leo Laporte.
The Tech Guy.
Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.